Hi, this is Prophetess Lindsay in the School of Deliverance, lab number two. Our topic is of kings and dominion. And our lab assignment for this week is coming out of the book of Joshua, chapter 10. Most specifically, we'll be looking at verses 10, 16, 24, and 25. So it would be good for you to read the entire chapter 10 of the book of Joshua. However, if you're familiar with it, then I would just focus on verses 10, 16, 24, and 25. Excuse me, and they're going to give you the reference that you'll need for our lab assignment on of kings and dominion. Now, one thing that we might want to keep in mind is that most of the Old Testament, is composed of wonderful, wonderful ways of learning the art of spiritual warfare. It teaches us the workings of the enemy. It teaches us how God feels about battling the enemy, contending against the enemy. The Old Testament is so rich, with strategies of watching the enemy and how to wait upon the Lord. For example, with David, you know, for the first battle, there was one strategy, and then David understood that for the second strategy, there was another, the other battle, there was another strategy. And so David asked the Lord, shall I go up this time? Shall I pursue? Should I overtake? Should I recover? And the Lord said, yes. And then there were other times when the Lord would have David to just be silent. So the Old Testament is so rich with insight on how to conduct spiritual war, how God feels about it, how God feels about those who pull away from spiritual warfare. For example, there is, I believe, in the book of Judges, the fifth chapter, if I'm not mistaken, there is an instance where there was a city that would not help fight the battle of the Lord. And the Lord cursed the entire city. It's I believe it's Judges chapter 5. And the Lord said he was speaking through the prophetess Deborah. And this was in a prophetic psalm. And she said, curse you, Meraz, curse you bitterly, the inhabitants. She said, because you would not come to the help of the Lord. You would not help fight the battle of the Lord. So let me tell you something. If you're afraid of devils and you're afraid of stepping into that, into the battle, you could find yourself into some trouble. OK, and I won't go into a whole lot of that right now. But God loves those who, for example, look at David, prime example of a warrior and how the Lord said he was a man after his own heart. You know, God, David was a warrior and David was a worshiper. So nevertheless, this is not about David tonight. Tonight, we're talking about Joshua. Now, as we know that Joshua was Moses's armor bearer, he was his minister, he was his adjutant. He watched Moses. He studied under Moses. He even tried to climb the holy mountain with Moses, and Moses had to literally tell him, no, you cannot come any further than this. Joshua had an eye out for the camp of the people of God. Joshua gave report back to Moses about the goings on in the camp, even in terms of coming against Aaron, the high priest. Joshua didn't bite his tongue. Joshua and Caleb were the ones sent out to spy Canaan, which was the promised land to the people of God. They were the ones who came back with the victorious report. Come on, let's take them. We can do it. And then there were the others who said, no, that we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. So God loved Joshua. God even appeared to Joshua as the captain of the army of the Lord of hosts. So that lets you know that Joshua's ministry or Joshua's assignment was one as a warrior. So you want to study and learn how God feels about it, how to some of you may feel like you're called to deliverance ministry. Some of the things you may have seen or heard in our deliverance classes, and you feel a pull on the inside of you that, you know what, God, I want to be a part of this. I want to set people free. I want to battle. And not that you live a life of battles, God forbid, but you want to be one of those ones that God says, hey, can I use you? He told Isaiah, he said, who can I send? You know, who will go for me? So in the book of Joshua, we find that there was a battle between the children of Israel and the Amorites. OK, and so Joshua chapter 10 tells you the entire story. And I encourage you to read it when you have time. I'll say this, that I during these next few weeks when we're studying, whether it's School of Prophets, School of Prayer, School of what have you, we really want to take this time to learn as much as we can. We only do this once a year. We're trying to come back around late fall and do it again, you know, when our schedule permits. But take this time. You know, there may be a lot of reading involved, or, you know, there may be a lot of assignments, which I try not to assign too heavy because I know that we work and we have lives outside of class. But I really want, you know, each student, each person enrolled, each person being a part of the school, Apostolic College, to really learn how God thinks. And so that's why there's a lot of writing, because, you know, I can say, you know, give me a question, answer the question. But I really want you to take time, open up your Bible and to think, to read, to think and to write. OK, so that you can get this on the inside. You hear it and then you read it and then you're writing it. And so it's becoming a part of you. And you'll see from years on from now, these classes and courses and even these assignments, they're going to help you. They're going to really enhance the work of the ministry that God is going to do in you. So in Joshua, there is this battle. They were fighting against the five Amorites. And there is a handout that's attached to this. Please make sure you download it. You're going to need that to reference for your assignments. OK, so they're battling against these five Amorite kings. And there was something that happened that's so important that we look at. They were able, the men of Israel, the warriors of Israel, were able to capture the people. But the kings got away. And that's what we want to look at tonight. We're talking about of kings and dominion. The kings were able to get away. And you would see here that in Joshua chapter 10, verse 16, but these five kings had fled and hid themselves in a cave. So they went and hid. And many times when you're ministering deliverance or you're observing someone ministering deliverance, you'll see, you know, the imps. And when we say the imps, we mean the lesser rank of demons. We'll see them come out. You know, we'll see them crying and screaming or what have you. But many times the kings, and when we say kings, we're talking about, I'm looking for my shoe. We're talking about the strong man. All right. If you remember in Jesus's day when he was speaking to the man at the tombs, and he asked the man, he said, "What is your name?" Well, of course, we know he wasn't speaking to the man, the spirits that were controlling the man at the time. And the demon spoke. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And so that strong man spoke for the rest of those demons that were under his rank. Now, the word legion represents, if you look at the Roman, because the Bible, the New Testament uses a lot of Roman army terms, even the breastplate, Paul said it, to where you put on, you know, put on your soldier gear, for the lack of a better word. And he tells you how to dress up. And if you would look at how he tells the believer to dress in the faith, okay, in the realm of the spirit, this was also comparable to how the Roman soldiers wore their equipment and wore their uniforms. So Paul takes that and makes an analogy. He looks at the Roman soldiers and then he makes an analogy as to how the Christians should dress in the spirit. So that's a whole nother topic. I don't even know how I got there. But anyway, So when you're ministering deliverance, many times you'll find that the lesser ranking spirits, they'll come out and they'll cough up. But then, you know, the person goes home and they'll feel a measure of deliverance. But that strong man is still there. That stronghold, that prince spirit is still there. And when we look in the book of Joshua, we find that in Joshua 10:10, the Bible says, so the Lord routed them before Israel and struck them down. So there was an ambush. There truly was an ambush, and that they were able to strike down some of these Amorites. But then when you look in verse 16, but the five kings got away. So tonight we're looking at who were the five kings that got away. Why was the Bible so specific? Why does that matter? You know, the Lord doesn't put anything in the Holy Scriptures for nothing. So why does that matter? We're going to look at that tonight. Verse 24 says, so it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said, listen, to the captains of the men of war. Now, I could go in really deep with that. So there's a hierarchy there. There are those who will do battle, and then there are those, and we talked about this in class, I believe, that when you're fasting and you're praying, you're able to command spirits on a higher level. And so when you find here in Joshua 10:24, he called out all the men of Israel, but the ones who he commissioned to handle those kings, listen, the Bible says, were the captains of the men of war. So all these men were indeed men of war. They had the capacity to take down, the Amorites. But when it came down to dealing with the kings, because, listen, protocol represents order. Order knows order, and word in the street say game knows game, game recognizes game. Well, order recognizes order. That's why the sons of Sceva were attacked by demons, because they tried to compel those demons out in Jesus' name, but they didn't have the authority. So moving back to verse 24. So it was when they brought these kings out to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, this is what Joshua said to them. He said, come here, put your foot on the necks of these kings. And those captains did exactly what Joshua told them to do. So ministering deliverance, it is very important that you have an ear to hear. Listen to what Holy Spirit is saying. There have been times that when I'm ministering deliverance, and some of you who are ministering in deliverance, you know, every situation is not the same. So we can't textbook casting out devils. I mean, yeah, we know they come out in Jesus' name, but there's so many different circumstances involved that you have to have an ear to hear, listen to authority, whether it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, or if it's, some senior, somebody that's more seasoned than you, and they're telling you what to do. Go ahead and do that. Okay. So as Joshua did, Joshua told the captain to do this, he said to put your foot on the necks of these kings. And it took me back to what the Lord said to us in Genesis. And we're talking about of kings and dominion, right? Of kings and dominion. Every king, that a kingdom is king's domain or a king's rule. So here we're talking about when in the very beginning, the Lord said, I give you dominion. I give you power over the earth. And he said, listen, he said, the enemy will bruise your heel, but you will bruise his neck. You will bruise his head. He'll bruise your heel, but you'll bruise his head. And so you find here, Joshua tells him, bruise his head, put your foot on his neck. So Joshua 10:25 says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage. Now, why would Joshua have to tell the captains of the men of war this? He wasn't talking to the men of war. He is now talking to the captain, of the men of war. So, you know, that they're up against a stronger war here. This is not your ordinary war. So you can imagine if Joshua tells them, don't be afraid, fear was a factor. If Joshua tells them, don't be dismayed, being dismayed was a factor. If Joshua tells them, be strong and of a good courage, then there was some weakness and there was some intimidation going on. And rightfully so, when you're working with something like that. So he says, for thus will the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So when we're fighting the fight, the wars of the Lord, and we're battling, whether it's for our own salvation or deliverance or for somebody in our family line or someone, praise God, that we're ministering to, we need to know this. We need to be equipped with this, that the Lord, we ought to put our foot on the devil's neck. Now, I'm not telling you to put your foot on somebody's neck. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is take authority. Take authority. So the Lord has given us victory over these five kings. So now we're going to look very briefly at these five kings, because some of you, all of you, you're going to choose a five king. You're going to choose the king. Excuse me. You're going to choose one of the five kings that you need to put your foot on his neck. That's going to be your lab assignment for this week, is you're going to choose which of these five kings have escaped in your life. And you need to go and put your foot on their neck. So let's look at the first king. The first king is Adonai Zedek, which is king of Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem at this time had not been yet possessed by Israel. OK, so this is not the throne of David and the seat of the temple. Not yet. Eventually, yes, but not yet. So but Adonai Zedek is holding this place. And remember, we talked about, if I don't know if it was you all or not. But anyway, the things that God has promised you, many times you're going to have to contend for that. This is not something that's going to fall in your lap. So even Jerusalem, which means the city of peace, Haru Salem, it means a city of peace or a place of peace. And you have to fight for your peace. Okay. So here's Adonai Zedek. Now, you know my thing. I love to go back and look at the Hebrew. Now, the Hebrew of Adonai Zedek means my Lord is righteous or Lord of justice. Now, and when we get through all of these five kings, you're going to find out that each of these five kings had a name that meant that gave a positive virtue. A name that meant positive virtues, but they're demons. So what does that tell you? The virtue of the name that they possess is the spirit that they come against. So if Adonai Zedek, if his name means the Lord is righteous and Lord of justice, which areas do you think he fights against? The righteousness of God, the people of God, and justice. These are demons of injustice. Okay. Now, this is a write-up by Bill Hammond. Actually, he prophesied this, but this study was conducted by his wife, Jill, I believe her name is Hammond, or Jan Hammond. So Adonai Zedek is the king of Jerusalem before the Israelites took possession of it, and it represents, because we went to the Hebrew and found out what that word means, and then we look at the spirit driving them, and we find out that these spirits are spirits of oppression. They lead to injustice, fear, poverty, confusion, and defeat. This is a demonic spirit that's after your peace. Why do we say that? Look at the city he was ruling over. So now this brings you into territorial spirits. Now, do you see why God told Joshua to deal with the captains of the men of the war? Do you see order recognizes order? So this is a city of peace that this strong man, this demon, has rulership of Jerusalem, or Shalom. Salem also means shalom. So this is a place of peace. So what does the enemy do? Try to steal it from you. He's tried to steal things from you before you even get a chance to acknowledge that God gave it to you. So it comes to instill, to take your peace and instill worry and fear. And she goes on to describe how these may manifest: head pains, heart problems, things of that nature. The second king is Horham, and his name means whom God drives. So this spirit is a spirit of religion that drives people into religious performance. Now, if God is driving you, the positive virtue of his name, if God is driving you, you're going to do your best. You're going to do it with a pure heart. You're going to do it so God can get glory. But if this demon is behind the drive, then what you do, you're doing it for pride's sake. You're doing it for people's sake. It's a spirit of religion and hypocrisy. The second spirit, Hoham, king of Hebron, represents a demonic spirit of religion that drives people into religious performance to try to perfect themselves through legalism versus being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, well, this is the way it's supposed to be done, and it's 12 o'clock, and we're supposed to do it like this. Never mind what God wants to do. When God steps in, order steps out. You understand? So this leads to passivity, retreat, moral corruption, exhaustion, weariness, and broken relationships. This spirit, demonic spirit, also causes an inability to move forward in the things of God, and it will always resist spiritual warfare. Third king is Piram, and you are gonna love this. His name means a wild ass, a wild ass, or a runaway. Now, what does that tell you? Let's look at it. This represents a spirit of besiegement that can lead to barrenness, poverty, isolation, and death. There's a scripture that says the wicked runs when no one's pursuing him. This spirit will literally have you on the move, running, 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 running. And you'll never be able to find that place in God, because that demon won't let you stand still long enough. Amen. It leads to barrenness because you can't get pregnant if you don't lay down. You understand what I'm saying? God can't impregnate you if you don't sit still enough for him to put some seed in you. So it leads to barrenness, poverty, because listen, the tree is planted by the rivers of water that gives forth its fruit in due season. If the tree is not planted, how can the tree bear forth fruit? Isolation and death. It wants to keep you wild, unbridled. Nobody can tell me what to do. I hear from God only, and you know all of that. And it is too proud to submit to true spiritual authority, so that you will be isolated. The fourth king or demonic spirit is, it looks like Japhia, but it's pronounced Japhia, and he is the king of Lachish, and I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right. And his name literally means shiny, shining, or bright. So what do you think that spirit does? If that name, the positive virtue of that name, means shining or bright, what does that demon do? Darkness, and drives you into blindness. This demonic spirit will get you to shine the light on yourself, demand your rights so that you take glory for yourself. You will lose the ability, because in the Word of God, light always represents revelation. So if this spirit comes to cause blindness, it takes away your ability away for revelation. You'll be stuck kind of in the same mode of, you know what I'm saying, the same understanding of scripture for years. You'll never be able to really break forward and get that greater revelation and get those that greater understanding of the Word. So this demon will cause you to lose the ability to receive revelation from God. It will darken your spiritual understanding and bring a lack of joy and a feeling of bondage. And the fifth king is Debir, king of Eglon, and his name means sanctuary. Again, the positive virtue of his name means sanctuary. Well, if a demon is behind that, what do you think that's going to cause you to feel? This is a spirit of accusation. It seeks to get you to attack others' reputations, because it's taking away your peace. It's taking away your safe place. It takes away your refuge. So it comes to attack others' reputations, to bring discredit to leaders, and to stop true prophetic revelation from going forth, or to release false prophets. This demonic spirit's goal is to cut off the voice of the Lord, stop the war cry of the saints, and remove the presence of God from your midst. So again, it removes the sanctuary. It moves you out of the safe place. So now, after Joshua and the Israelites defeated these Amorite armies, then Joshua went to deal with the five kings. And you'll find that even in your ministry, you'll deal with the imps, you'll deal with some of the lower ranking spirits. And then at some point, because remember, Jesus said, this kind goeth not out, but by fasting and prayer, as God revealed things to you, as you're praying for the people that you're ministering to and that you're dealing with, then God gives you a greater insight and he'll let you know this is how you take that devil down. So once they took down the armies of the Amorites, then Joshua went after them and went for the kings, removed them from the cave. In other words, he pulled them out of their hiding spot. He exposed them, and he asked the military captains to put their foot on the necks of the five kings. And so God has given us victory. This is what Bill Hammond is prophesying to the people of God, that God has given us victory. Jesus said we will put our the enemy will be our footstool, and that's where he belongs, under our feet. So then our assignment for lab number two in the School of Deliverance is to I want you to choose, and some of you may have all of your five kings in the cave, but we want to just deal with one for now. I want you to pull one of your kings out of the cave, the one that has been hiding, the one that you hadn't quite taken down yet. We want you to select one of those kings. And based upon what we gave you, and you can do additional research, and that's fine. I encourage that. Actually, is to identify how this king has been affecting your life. What type of trouble has he caused in your life? What type of bondage have you? You know, what is the effect that this king what has he caused in your life? So I want you to talk about that, and then I want you to construct a prayer to take that down. You know, what are you going to do? What is God telling you how to attack that king, how to displace him? What is God telling you about that? So again, the lab assignment is to select one of the five kings that in your life that's still in the cave, that's hidden. Okay. And you're going to put your foot on his neck. All right. So I pray that you have been enlightened in the book of Joshua. I encourage you to read it, Joshua chapter 10. The lab topic is of kings and dominion, and we want to identify the kings that are hidden in the caves in our life. God bless you.